Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. First up, LQ updates. LQ Radio interview number 3, which was with Asa Dotzler of the Mozilla Foundation, has been posted. In the interview, Asa covers how he originally got turned on to open source and to Firefox specifically, why the recent Firefox 1.1 release morphed into 1.5, where Firefox and the Mozilla Foundation in general are headed for the future. He gives his thoughts on IE7 and what browser he'd use if he couldn't use Firefox. We also get into some detail about his recent comments about Linux on the desktop. Unfortunately, we didn't get to get into that topic quite as much as I would have liked because he was running behind for a meeting, but it's a topic that him and I first discussed at Gnome Dex about a month ago, and his blog posts have been getting quite a bit of exposure on that topic, so it's something you do want to tune into. He'll be at OSCON this coming week, so hopefully we'll be able to discuss that a little bit more, and if we have enough, maybe even he'll be on the show again, so you can look forward to that. Don't forget, if you are getting this podcast automatically in your podcatcher, but did not get any of the LQ Radio interview or recent shows, you're going to want to make sure that you are subscribed to what's called the combined RSS feeds, and that will get you both the podcasts and the LQ Radio content. Next story, LQ Bookmarks has been out of beta for a while now and is going strong. There are now well over 300 bookmarks that have already been entered. Make sure to migrate your LQ bookmarks to the new site ASAP, as the old LQ feature will be turned off in about 2 weeks now. For those of you wondering what LQ Bookmarks is, it allows you to bookmark, tag, annotate, and share links to open source and Linux-related sites. It also allows you to access your bookmarks from any browser on any machine anywhere. A last-minute reminder that LinuxQuestions.org is a sponsor of the upcoming OSCON, which started today and is being held in Portland, Oregon. I'm due at the airport in just over 12 hours to head out there, so if you'll be attending OSCON and would like to meet up, make sure to drop me a line. Now, on to the news. According to a recent article on desktopos.com, which seems to be down currently, unfortunately, Windows users are idiots. On this one, I have to disagree, for a couple of reasons, really. First, lacking knowledge about a computer in no way makes you an idiot. Sure, there are plenty of geniuses running around that are completely and 100% computer illiterate. My disagreement, though, goes a little bit beyond that. While people aren't idiots, they are lazy, and that's a fact of life. Pretty much everyone's lazy in at least some aspect. Most people don't want to have to learn or understand computers in depth, and I don't blame them, really. You know, they want to do their jobs, whether it be doctor, lawyer, you know, whatever they do, they want to focus on that and kind of use a computer as a tool and not have to learn too much about it. I think the problem is that, A, Windows comes pretty insecure by default. I know they're trying to correct that and they've made some headway, but a default Windows install is sure still very insecure. B, Windows comes pre-installed on almost every desktop machine that you're going to get sold. And when you combine that with C, which is Windows makes it way too easy to not have to learn anything about changing those defaults, or really about learning any kind of fundamentals about computing. So the lack of user education, I think, is really what hurts the average Windows user. And the outcome, unfortunately for us, is an army of spam-spewing zombies. So I think it's our responsibility as the maybe 10% of so are people who really want to understand and do understand computers to lead the other 90% of those users in the right direction. So don't just tell someone, oh yeah, Windows sucks, or you know, Microsoft sucks, or whatever, because I think that would tend to make you look like an idiot more than make them look like an idiot. Explain to them why installing Linux or even buying a Mac is in their best interest, and make them understand how it will save them time and make them more secure. You know, we don't need to get everyone to a level where they can compile their own kernel or write a device driver or any of those things. They just need to be educated on why the alternatives are superior and how it will benefit them. And a little bit of user education in this case, I think, goes a long way. But belittling them certainly helps no one. On to the next story, which is standards, CSS, and IE7. While it's great to see that IE7 has tabs and they're addressing a whole host of CSS and layout deficiencies and bugs, It really does boggle the mind when you think how far behind IE actually is. Just for example, IE 7 will be the first IE to natively support tabs. I know there's a, like MSN Toolbar or something that does it in IE 6, but this is the first native support. And this comes years after almost every other browser on the planet has supported it, literally. And this is the kind of complacency that's allowed because they have such a large market share. And I don't think it's any coincidence that we're finally seeing these features now with Firefox, you know, just taking the web by storm and really eating into that high 90 percentages that they had at one time. And I guess it's better late than never, but this is a very good example of why monopoly is bad. The good news here is that IE7 is being developed with an amount of transparency that I've not ever seen in IE land. It's just the, if you're not familiar with the IE blog that's on the MSDN site, it's really a fantastic blog, and there's IE developers giving it to you, the straight story, what they're doing, what they're developing. So kudos to the IE team for that much. It's absolutely great to see. It is unfortunate, though, it looks like that Windows 98, Windows 2000, and even XP pre-service pack 2 users are going to get left completely in the dark with IE7. So probably some more Firefox converts, you know, on the way there. The last story I have for you today, it looks like Mac OS X Intel kernel that is shipping with the developer package uses a bit of DRM. And I think everyone knew that Apple wouldn't release a version of OS X that ran on just generic, you know, white box x86s. And I had blogged about that, I think, about a week ago. Since Apple just asking nicely isn't really a viable option to get people not to do it, DRM did seem like a good candidate for, you know, ensuring compliance there. A little bit torn on this one. If the absolute only thing that this DRM is used for is ensuring that OS X will only boot on Apple hardware, I really don't agree with the decision, but I can at least say that I can see where Apple's coming from. I can see their position. At this point, it really is in Apple's best interest, I think for many different reasons, to have OS X be a Mac-only product. But if this DRM is used for anything else, and I think unfortunately the potential is there, and once it's built in, you never know where it's going to go. That is very bad and going to end up, you know, good for Apple potentially, but definitely bad for the consumer and bad for computing. I'm going to have to hold off on my final thought because this is only a developer release, and the way it looks is the DRM in this case is being called as a result of they use Rosetta to run PowerPC apps and x86 as kind of an emulator, and one of the GUI servers, the ATS server, is not yet ported to x86, so that's calling Rosetta, and then Rosetta is what is bringing the DRM into play. So it's really a situation where we're going to have to wait and see how the shipping product looks, what they do on the shipping product, you know, and then kind of make a judgment from there. So who knows what things will look like in that final release. In the end, though, DRM is almost always, and I can think of a very few legitimate exceptions to this, but it's almost always bad. It hurts legitimate customers, makes your customers' lives more painful in almost every case, and it almost never stops the people you're trying to stop, let alone stop it, rarely even slows them down. Although, as Mark Cuban pointed out in one of his recent blog posts, unfortunately, some industries just never learn this. That's all I have for now, but thanks for listening. And remember, if you like the LQ podcast, head over to podcastalley.com and vote for us. Thanks.